bless these words. In James chapter 1, the Word of God says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," and those temptations means trials, the trials of your faith. "Count it all joy when you get into diverse, different, varying trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul told us that which is perfect is God's, the love of God, the character of God, right? And so this patience is what's working into us the character of God. "If any of you lack wisdom," now this is what we're getting at here. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not." That means he doesn't scorn them for not having wisdom. He doesn't ridicule or rebuke them. "And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man," and the actual meaning in the original language, the way it's written, is "double-souled man, is unstable in all his ways." Now, what does that mean? "For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." If a man doubts, if a man wavers, he'll receive nothing of God. What does that mean? Let's read it again. Pay attention carefully. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." This is like an amazing passage. Martin Luther didn't like James, but I have no idea why. He called him the straw epistle because he saw only law in it. But yeah, he saw works in it. And really, it's not at all. James is one of the most amazing grace books there is. "Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." Now, what is the scenario that's being portrayed here? What's being established? Well, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That is the premise for this. That is what James is talking about here. Okay? You're in diverse temptations. "Let patience have her perfect work in those diverse temptations, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Lack wisdom toward what? Toward their diverse temptations. If any man lacks wisdom in the trials of their faith, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he gives to all men liberally wisdom in their trials. What's a trial of my faith? It's some situation that is bigger than I am, that I can't see my way through it. I can't get a handle on it. I don't know how to think in it. I don't know what to think in it. It's bigger than me and it's overwhelming. And all I have is the opportunity to simply say, "Okay, God, I'll trust you, although I understand absolutely nothing." And it's talking about trials. Why I'm bringing this up is because often people, this verse 7 is so painfully misunderstood, where it says, "For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord if he wavers." So verses 6 and 7 put together, and so much of Christianity really drops the ball here. Do you get anything in prayer? Like, if you pray for something, will God answer? Will God grant you your petition if you waver? And this is how Christianity addresses this issue. If you ask something in prayer and you're wavering, will God answer your prayer? It's not talking about prayer. It's talking about trials. And it's talking about requesting wisdom. It's not talking about prayer for an outcome. It's talking about someone who's going through an intense trial, doesn't know how to think in it, and asks the Holy Spirit for wisdom. So Paul says, James says here, let him ask of God if he doesn't have wisdom in his trial, and God's not going to ridicule him for not having wisdom. Okay, God's not going to be upset. He's not going to scorn him for not having wisdom. God's not going to be in any way negative toward that person that they are in a trial that they can't think through. It doesn't bother him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. Why? Because if I'm in a situation where I cannot understand how I'm going to get through this, I can't understand how I can possibly be victorious in this, I can't understand how God could possibly come through for me, I don't know what's the next step to take in this, I can't win. This is what he's talking about here. It's talking about a situation where I don't have wisdom for that situation at all. Just let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. It's talking about, okay, God, give me wisdom here. But I don't believe you, so I'm going to keep mixing my natural evaluation, natural understanding, my fear, everything that I can come up with in my own head. And there's going to be a war between my sight and trusting. Now, here's the thing. If I ask God for wisdom, He will give it liberally. Now, He may not say,
this is what you do. Write it down.
I wish he would, sometimes. But that's not how it operates. It's actually much easier than that, though. Sometimes I'll ask God for wisdom, and I'll wait. And often I don't get anything. But then, a little bit later, I do. Sometimes I'll ask God for wisdom and I get something on the spot. It really depends on the situation I'm in and the need that I have. But if I keep trying to go back to my own way of thinking, which is really simply Christian's natural thinking is the same as the thinking of the world, then I'll go between the way the world does things and the way God would lead, the wisdom that God would give. If I don't trust the fact that God has given me wisdom that's good, now the Word of God says He will give it to you. If you ask Him for wisdom, He'll give it to you, and not just give it to you, but He'll give it to you liberally. He'll give you an abundance of wisdom. Okay, He gives you an abundance of wisdom. Do you get that? He gives you an abundance of wisdom. If I don't trust the wisdom that He gives, then I'm going to keep going back and forth between natural thinking, sight, fear, anxiety, and all the things that that produces in my mind and in my emotions, and God's wisdom. And for a little while, I'll say, okay, I'll do it God's way. Oh, no, I don't want to. I'm afraid of God's way. I'm going to do it the way the world would do it. I'm going to try to take the bull by the horns, or I'm going to try to make a... No, I'm afraid to do that. I'm going to go back. And this person is almost like a drunken person trying to walk a straight line. It doesn't work for them. And that person, if they won't trust God for wisdom, He won't give them any. In other words, they'll ask him for wisdom. He says what to do. They don't trust him. And the outcome of their circumstance is not according to the wisdom that God gives. So when I ask God for wisdom, and he gives it to me, I follow it. That's what it's saying. I trust him for the wisdom. When I receive the wisdom for the circumstance, I follow it. I don't start questioning it. In other words, somebody, and you know, this is assuming that people aren't hyper spiritual and they're not immature and all that. But it's not hard to hear from God. For a person who's not immature and not, you know, hyper spirituality is a form of immaturity. So for a person who's mature, it's not hard to hear from God. If I hear from God and I start to question what he gives me as wisdom according to my sight, the outcome will not be that which God's wisdom would have produced. That's what it's talking about. People use this passage to say, if you're not confident, and people slaughter this passage, if you're not confident when you pray, then God won't answer. Baloney. I don't have faith in my faith. I have faith in God's character. I have faith in God's promises. I have faith in doctrine. I don't have faith in my faith. What people are trying to do, and you hear sometimes, this will be said in pulpits, if you don't get the answer to your prayer, they say, it's because you don't have enough faith. Horse hockey. If I have the faith of a mustard seed, which is a small faith but alive, then I can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be cast into the sea. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, if you ask, you'll receive. You cannot tell me here, because of taking this passage out of context, that if I don't have a certain quantity of faith beyond that which is required to simply ask him, that I won't receive my petition. That's not what it says. That's taking the passage out of context. Now, I don't believe in name it, claim it, but I do believe in confidence in prayer. I do believe in being completely confident in the character of God, that when he said, if two or more are agreed and they ask something, it will be done for them. These are promises. I'm completely confident in God's promises. I'm not at all confident in my faith, but that's okay. I don't need much. I simply need enough faith that will turn to God and ask him. What people are doing is they're taking a specific circumstance written for a specific situation, taking it out of context and trying to apply it to prayer. It doesn't work. It wasn't given for that. It was given for those who are in overwhelming trials in which they could not see the next step. James is telling them, ask God for wisdom, because if you ask him, he'll give it to you liberally. But if you don't trust the wisdom that you have, your outcome will not be according to God's wisdom. Your outcome will be often according to sight. And sometimes it won't even be as good as what sight could have produced, because you keep going back and forth. That's what he's saying there. He's not saying anything whatsoever about prayer in that passage, except that you should ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom if you're in an overwhelming trial. But that's it. On the other hand, we have passages like, even if you don't believe, God abides faithful because he can't deny himself. prayer is so simple. And people wonder why they didn't get the answer. And often, I'd say the vast majority of the time, they wonder why they didn't get the answer because they're jumping the gun. The Word of God says, after you have done the will of God, you have need of patience that you might receive the promise. That's what He's saying. That's why I have to wait. That I can develop. After you've done the will of God, let's put it into this into very practical terms. After you've done the will of God, what's the will of God? Okay, well, it's the same thing as whatever you ask in His name. If I am walking in the light, as best as I'm able. Now, that's not faultless, but practicing rebound when I fail. If I'm walking in the light, okay, after you've done the will of God, if I'm walking in the light, and I ask God for something, then I have need to be conformed to the image of Christ. God is love. Patience is the practical manifestation in 1 Corinthians 13:4 of the love of God. So, as I'm walking in the light, I petition God for something. At that point, God says, okay, you need to have my character developed in you. Why? So that you may receive the promise. So that you will have the capacity to receive that which you have asked. Sit right there. But God, I asked you for things and you didn't come through. How do you know that this isn't the patience process? It sounds like it is because of the question. Where people lose it and they actually walk out on the will of God is they're not willing to have God's character produced in them. And they'll stop trusting Him for His promises because they refuse to have God's character produced in them. They don't want the patience part. Well, without the character of God being produced in me, I have no capacity to receive. Because my flesh can't receive anything. And so people try to receive in their flesh, and God says, no, I'm not honoring your flesh. Let me produce my character in you, and then I can give you something. And they say no. And they walk away. This is why a lot of people don't get answered to prayer. Because they refuse to accept it. I want an answer to prayer, but I refuse to receive the answer. But that thing about when people say, oh, you didn't have enough faith, or you wavered, and people tell themselves this, oh God, I don't know if I trust you enough, I wavered, I don't know that you're going to really do this for me. And inside they're beating themselves to a pulp because they ask God for something and they say, God, I don't know if you're really going to do this for me. Obviously, I've just disqualified myself because I've taken this word, this verse out of context, completely changed its meaning, and now I'm trying to misappropriate to the wrong situation. And they defeat themselves. That's not how it works. It's not the quantity of your faith, and it's not whether or not you wavered when you ask God for something that determines whether you receive it. The biggest determining factor as to whether you receive your petition is, number one, did you ask? And number two, were you willing to have God produce in you the capacity to receive the answer to your prayer? You know what it's like? And this is kind of a simplistic example, but it's silly, but it's accurate. God, I want a barrel of gold. Where's your barrel? I don't have a barrel, I have a thimble. But I want a barrel of gold. Well, you're going to need a barrel if you want a barrel of gold. I don't have a barrel, I have a thimble. But I want a barrel of gold. God says, okay, let me give you a barrel. No. I'm going to turn your thimble into a barrel. No. This is what people do. After you've done the will of God, you have need of patience that you may receive the promise. That's why you're waiting. Because otherwise, you're not going to receive the promise because you have consumed it on your own lust. So God says, okay, you want a barrel of gold. If you don't allow me to produce the barrel, then I'm not going to give you a barrel of gold. Okay, in a similar sense, God, I have a desire that I'm asking you for. If I don't have the capacity to receive what I asked him for, then he's not going to grant me that desire yet. He'll build the capacity until I can hold it. And if I refuse to have that capacity built, he won't give it to me at all, because then I'll consume it on my flesh. But this stuff that people beat themselves to a pulp with, where I wavered so I might not get it. You mean you ask God for wisdom in a difficult trial and now you're trying to approach your trial in two different ways? Is that what you're referring to? No, that's not what they were referring to usually. So there's two different things and people are blending them and you can't blend them. Because they're talking about two completely different sets of circumstances. How much faith do you need to receive? You need the faith to ask. You said, whosoever asks shall receive. He can't lie. He said, whoever asks receives. And people, because of various things, usually something aligned with their capacity or, you know, to do with their capacity, for various reasons, you know, they won't always in their heart feel very confident that God will do for them what they ask. And they say, well, if I waver it, I'm not going to get it. Where does it say that? And then they'll point to James, where he's talking about asking for wisdom. A very misused portion of scriptures really confuses people. And a lot of people experience a great deal of frustration when they could actually be resting in anticipation that God will answer their prayer. But because they misappropriate this one passage, a lot of people live in a great deal of frustration towards themselves, trying to build something that doesn't need building and can't be built in that fashion. Because now, because they've misappropriated that portion of James, they try to initiate a faith in their faith and they become very upset, very frustrated. And they say, well, this is very difficult. No, it's not difficult, you just didn't get it. It's really very simple. God doesn't get upset with us for wavering. He didn't say to, like, when the blind man asked him to heal him, Jesus said to him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And he said, yes. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Okay? He didn't say, do you believe I will do this for you? Exactly as you asked. How is the blind man supposed to know the future? No. What he wanted to know is, do you believe my character? Do you believe that I'm God and I'm capable of doing that which you need? That's what he's asking. Do you believe that I'm God and that I'm capable of doing that which you need? If you do, you'll come to me and you'll ask. If you come to me and you'll ask, then you'll receive. But in the process of receiving, he's going to build your capacity so that you can hold what you receive. If you can't hold what you receive, He's not going to give it to you. Because often without the capacity, it will crush you. So don't ever get into this thing where you ask God and then you have a season because of capacity or weakness or tiredness or whatever, length of time, and you just say in your heart, I'm not sure I believe that He's going to do this, but I desire it, so I'm going to keep asking. And it's not anything wrong. You know, it's like, I just need this, God, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time because He's conforming you to His image. And yes, He will grant you your petition. If you are willing to have Him build that capacity in you. If you're not willing, then very often it will simply be consumed on my own lusts and I won't receive what I ask, since I wasn't willing for God to produce that capacity. Because He's not going to crush me with what I don't understand.